Josh James. You're listening to Adult Rock. We want to welcome back a frequenter of the WKY studios, Aaron McKeon. Aaron, thanks for stopping by.
It's such a pleasure to be here, Josh.
Well, just, oh, and checking the phone as
I'm
she
just
does
turning it.
It
off.
She's a multitasker.
No. I just turn it off because it's going to make nasty noises. If one of the millions of people who want my attention now.
How are you holding up during this tour? Doing well?
I can't believe it, but so far I feel amazing. I've been waiting to get sick. I've been waiting to be depressed.
Waiting for the swine flu.
Yeah, right. I know. Well, that was the big question was, you know, I'm not a person who would get a flu shot, but I thought, well, maybe this year I should, because really from October to December, right in the like teeth of the flu season, like every night I'm going to be in rooms full of, you know, people and like shaking hands and giving hugs and just, you know, being in groups of people. And should I get the flu shot or not? And I decided no. So
just
so
keep that hand sanitizer.
All I need to do is just keep drinking the Ale-8.
I was just introduced to Ale-8 last night.
Oh God.
Well, where to next? Let's see, you're back up northeast after this, and you're gonna have some gigs with Jill Solbuehl.
Yeah, Jill and I are on a tour together. This whole project this fall, this tour is with her. And she had some previous engagements the last couple of days, so she had to skip Kentucky, and I think she missed Alabama, Georgia, I think, happened in between, too. But, she'll be joining me later this week for the rest of the tour, and, we've had a great time. We both, kind of a kindred soul thing in the sense that we both fan-funded our last projects, and we both play the same guitar, and I think we both have sailor mouth, and I can't think of all the other ways, but she's fantastic, and it's been fun so far.
Well, you're back with your first album of all original material in like 4 years. Before we get to a song from that, I got to ask you about the name of the new record, because you got an animal theme going on here, and really throughout your career, if you think about it, hundreds of lions. Why lions, and why hundreds of them?
Well, I think what you're thinking of, yeah, is the last original record I made was called We Will Become Like Birds, and I didn't even think about it as I was naming this new one. It really only occurred to me later when I put them on the shelf together, like, oh, right, I went from birds to lions. I don't know. There's something about the image of the lion for me that it began with the song called The Lions that you guys have been playing, and it's this idea of, I think, of this sort of teeming sense of animal nature underneath our very button-down exteriors, and hundreds, it could have been thousands or millions, but something about the H sound of hundreds of lions, and I just had a real image specifically around that song about just kind of being in a three-ring circus, and around the outside of the ring are these lions, and they're caged in that sense, but controlled in that sense, but really at any moment they could bust through.
So it's Aaron McKeon's Shock the Monkey. That's what it is.
I have no idea what you're talking about, but it sounds right.
It's Peter, yes. The Peter Gabriel song. Okay.
Okay, great.
All right, let's get to a little taste of the new record, and we'll come back and talk some more about it. What are you going to play for us?
Well, why don't I play The Lions?
All right, sounds good.
Speaking about it.
Okay.
Hundreds of lions roaring at their cage. She and I go dancing by in sequence, unscathed. You must believe us if we act like we're in love. We're professional acrobats and we like it dangerous. But in the moment before hit that pool, I wonder, am I doing the fooling, or am I the fool? There's a risk, there's a twist in anything worth doing. And if you're caught doing what's proper, you better stop before you ruin it. She and I were circus lovers, cannonball, somersault split. We were made to smile in sawdust and mean every word of it. Nothing turned us on more than to turn every eye. La da 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 da. But in the moment before the curtain dropped, I wondered, why am I always the bottom, never the top? There's a risk, there's a twist, and anything worth doing. And if you're caught doing what's proper, you better stop before you ruin it. So I regret, oh, I fret, I could never tell you the truth. But the act was more practical if I just kept on doing it. Hundreds of lions sleeping silent at their cage. Bright canvas folds, striped satin fades. Wild animals have to roam free and far. Despite the occasional tie-up, she was never one for bars. But in our tattooed bodies, we'll keep a part of the freak show our mothers warned us about. There's always a risk, there's a twist, and anything worth doing. And if you're caught doing what's proper, you better stop before you ruin it. So I regret, oh, I fret, I can never tell you the truth. But we live with what we're given, oh, and I will always believe in love.
Erin McKeon live with the Lions on WUKY. She's got a fresh new record of original songs called Hundreds of Lions. This one is on Ani DeFranco's Righteous Babe label. How did that come about?
Well, Ani has always been a hero of mine, and she's become a mentor, and she's also become a friend. And when I was a senior in college, she got a hold of my first record, Distillation. And she liked it, and she invited me to come on tour. And so I literally left college about a month before graduation and did all my papers from the road and went on tour with her. This was in the spring of 2001. And we've just stayed friends and done some recording and visiting. And she's put me up in New Orleans several times. And I've been on tour with her a few times since then. And, you know, it just seemed like the natural progression of things. This was a record I made without any funding from anyone else, without any input from anyone else. And when I was finished with it, then I went looking for people who would get it. That was my idea, was, you know, if you don't like the record, that's okay. Like, then we don't need to work together. And if you do like it, then let's work together. And so I went to a bunch of different record companies, and Righteous Babe was just the right home for it. And, you know, given my, like, long association with her and, of course, my reverence for her work, it's really exciting to be part of it.
No doubt. How did the new songs come into being? Were they recent or thoroughly road tested before they made it onto the record?
Well, I had the luxury with this group of songs of not having to play them to death before they got recorded, because I was very fortunate to do two different projects between Birds and Lions. And one of them was Sing You Sinners, record of swing covers, and another was Lafayette, which was a live record with my big band. And so in touring and recording and working those records, I had plenty for a show, and occasionally I could throw in something from Lions that maybe I was working on. but I didn't have to. I didn't have to make my whole show out of these songs, and so they came along very slowly. And they were very much untested when I brought them to Sam Kassirer, who is the producer of Hundreds of Lions, and he. You know, there's a point where a song hardens. It's like a sidewalk or something. It's just been poured. You can put your initials in it and you can shape it. And then it gets hard and it's done. And so when I brought them to Sam, they were still very soft. And he could suggest that I think this one's a tango, which I would never have thought of. I think this one needs an extra chorus, which I wouldn't have thought of. You know, so he was able to shape them versus a song that I'd been playing on the road for years. And I would just be like, no, this is the way it goes. So it was very nice to have that extra time.
Well, speaking of musical genres, I mean, almost every review I came across researching your work mentions how impossible it is to peg you down stylistically. There's folk, obviously, but there's also jazz and rock and even some electronic stuff in there as well. So when you sit down to write a song, obviously you said some things come about eventually when a producer gives you an idea or something like that. Do you know ahead of time, though, what style you want in a song, or does it just evolve as you're recording it?
It depends on what instrument I think I'm writing on. For example, We Will Become Like Birds, I really wrote on a keyboard and a drum machine. Those were kind of the main ingredients for what was happening. And so that gave that record a certain flavor. Hundreds of Lions was written back on the guitar, which I hadn't done a lot of writing on in a while. And I think that in that case, it made the songs more intimate, and it also made them more of a blank canvas for me, because on the guitar, I don't know, I just don't feel the need to be as specific about a genre. I don't know, maybe it's because I've been playing the guitar for so long, it less is more for me. So it kept them kind of blank in a way. One thing I did know that was premeditated was I very much wanted Hundreds of Lions to have an electronic element to it. And we did that by incorporating what we called creative click tracks. You know, when you begin recording in a multi-track way, you often put down a click track so everybody has the same amount of time. And, you know, this just usually sounds like it's quite boring. It's just a metronome. But we decided to make our click tracks have personality. So they were just little drum machine beats. And then, you know, we put the song over it. So that, in that sense, that stylistic part of it was premeditated. But the writing itself was genre-wise, not premeditated at all. I have to say I'm very pleased at this point in my career to not be able to be pinned down. I don't know, it's probably just the like smart-ass teenager that's still in me that's just like, you can't say who I am until I tell you.
Well, speaking of that, while I've got you here, have you skimmed your Wikipedia page ever?
Yes.
Well, that's good, actually, because I've got this little game I play with some of our on-air guests, and basically I want to fact-check the Aaron McKeown Wikipedia
okay,
page.
Great.
Sound good?
Great, yeah.
So I'll just read off some entries. You can tell me if they're true or not.
Okay, great.
Number one, studied ornithology at Brown.
True.
Okay, true. The animal theme again. We come back to it once more. Here's the one I'm sure that all the Douglas Adams fans out there will hope is true. McKeown cites The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy as an influence on her music.
True.
And how is that so?
Well, it was a book that I read as a young kid. I was probably 8 or 9 the first time I read those books. And then I've gone back to them over and over and over through the years, and I cited them as an influence. There's a particular interview in the UK I was doing it that I actually was talking about that, which once it gets into Wikipedia, then it's like perpetual. what I was thinking is there's a sense of humor in those books, and there's a sense of, you know, the Surrealists are my favorite art movement, and Monty Python was always my favorite type of humor, and this is sort of that like smart ridiculousness. I think is a great influence, and there's also underneath all of that in all the Hitchhiker's books a real sense of wonder and travel, and I relate to that too.
You plan to write a book of poetry.
Yes, let's correct that too. I am writing.
You are writing. Well, there you go.
It's an ongoing project that I sort of keep on the back burner. I've always written poems. I wrote poems way before I ever wrote songs, and in the last couple of years, I made a decision to kind of try to collect some of my old poems to, if I, you know, didn't feel like writing songs, to try writing poems again, just to keep my writing brain going. And I do hope to get it finished in the next year, and there'll be some type of musical component to it. I'm not sure. I'll probably write a bunch of instrumental music and then figure out some way to put the poems with them.
Well, I think we know this one is right. McKeown is noted for her habit of wearing tailored suits, often ties and sneakers on stage. Where did those wardrobe choices come from?
I don't know. And I that's the weird part about something like Wikipedia, which is like, is it really that interesting what I wear? You know, like I'm a little embarrassed by that. But, I don't know. For me, gender has always been a spectrum, and I've always been really fluid about it. And I guess the time of the Wikipedia snapshot, that's what I was doing. Who knows if I'm going to stick with that or not.
And you occasionally perform big band music with the Beantown Swing Orchestra.
Yeah, that's true. I just saw that that appeared the other day on the Wikipedia.
Is that fun?
I probably read my Wikipedia more often than I should. and I have been known to try to steer it in different directions.
Ooh.
It's Wikipedia.
Yeah.
Please.
It's,
create
it's,
your own myth.
Exactly.
no, it is true about the Beantown Swing Orchestra, and I didn't put that there. Yes, there is. It actually came about this way. Sam Kassira, who produced Hundreds of Lions, was getting married, and his dream for his wedding was to have all his musical friends sing with a big band at his wedding. And Sam has the great privilege of working with a lot of really talented people, most notably Josh Ritter, myself, a songwriter named Mark Arelli, a woman named Allie Moss, who works with Ingrid Michaelson. Just a nice list of people who are doing cool things in the world. And so he recruited a big band for his wedding. He had all of us get ready to sing with them. And it turned out that the big band was already fans of mine. And they were already playing a couple of my arrangements from Sing You Sinners. So ahead of the wedding, I did a bunch of gigs with them. And I literally was just their girl singer in the big band. I sang about 20 charts. They're straight-up charts from the 30s and 40s. They're not modernized in any way. And it is so much fun. That's about all I can say. You can go on YouTube, and there's some clips of me singing with the big band.
Well, it's very cool. Now, it's been 10 years, I guess, since your debut.
Lord.
Monday Morning Cold. I mean, that's a decade there of songwriting,
oh my God,
recording, touring. What's changed? What's stayed the same for Aaron McKeown?
Well, I think that I'm a lot better at, I think I'm more patient. I was thinking about this the other night in a gig in Louisville that was in a really odd place, and there was just a bunch of people who just happened to be there who were talking and kind of, I don't know, spoiling the vibe. And I think, you know, 10 years ago, I would have just from song one just like cussed them out and said like, shut up or leave or, you know, something not even that nice. And I would have sort of like roiled in that annoyance at them all night. You know, my songs are so precious. How dare you talk through them? And now, I think 10 years later, I'm able to focus more on the people who came to hear my music and who were listening instead of the people who were picking up folks Friday night in a Kentucky bar. I don't know what they were doing. But, you know, I think that's one thing that's different. Another thing is that I think I write less. I think that's the difference in 10 years for me, is that I write less and about different things, and that's probably a whole longer conversation.
Well, before we let you go, let's hear another song. What else do you feel like playing?
Yeah, I thought I would effort to give you guys the widest possible array so you cannot pin me down.
All right.
I'll play you this song. It's called To a Hammer, and it's the first song on Hundreds of Lions. And I'm sure you guys are not playing it because it's got some language in it that would make you lose
maybe
your license.
Maybe not.
Yeah, which I'll leave out in the live version, of course. But on the record, it's a string quartet augmented by flutes and clarinets, and kind of, I think, emblematic of the palette of Lions, which is these little electronic sounds with orchestral elements. But today I will give you the acoustic guitar version.
Aaron McKeown, live on WUKY.
I will never leave you, and you will never know it, and I never known it so plain. I will be the one to pretend it was nothing. To a blind man, each day looks the same. To a blind man, each day looks the same. Was it love? Was it travel? Was it true? Was it tragic? We all but in name. And when you say it's over, I will say it's over. But a bank account's more than the change. But a bank more than the change. My name in salt, your name in marble. One trace is gone and one stays.
I will never leave you, and you will never know it. You are a player, everything is a game. But you are a player, everything is a game. Your name in marble, the echo will be the refrain. I will hold the secret and you won't ever see it, cause the handsomest flower still fades. Oh, the handsomest flower still fades. And as each day goes by, we'll have better goodbyes. That's the beauty of time and the scale. But when I close my eyes, I will still see your light. There's a train on the follows its rail. The train only follows its rail. We will be the ones who pass on forever, as forever would doom us to fail. I will never leave you, and you will never know it. To a hammer, every pen is a nail. To a hammer, every pen is a nail.
Aaron McKeon live on WUKY. The new album is Hundreds of Lions, now in fine record stores everywhere. Thank you so much for stopping by. We love to have you.
It's my pleasure, and I appreciate you mentioning fine record stores, a dying breed. But we took a lot of time to make really gorgeous packaging for this record to, you know, add to the experience. If you can download it, of course, but the packaging is something special, and I'd love it if people experienced it.
Well, thanks again, Aaron. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.